Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
If he's really your father, you would recognize who he is what he's saying to them. That they should recognize that he is Messiah, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's basically what he's telling them, that they maybe don't have the right relationship with the Father. Verse 46, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am, Jesus said. I am, just like Moses when he's out there in the desert and he gets to the burning bush and he's talking with the burning bush. And this is one of the smartest guys around, trained by all of the Egyptians. I mean, Moses was no schmuck. He was a really sharp fella. And he spent a lot of time out in the desert. And now he's standing there. Can you imagine the humility associated with standing there talking to a burning bush? A bush that can't be consumed. Now he's just standing there talking with it. Well, so just who am I supposed to say? Just go to Pharaoh and tell, well, who am I supposed to say sent me? I am, God said. The becoming one. The one who's there to meet your need and my need. The becoming one. That's what that I am means. The becoming one. Oh, what a great truth. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. Your fathers, back to the manna, ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. You want more manna, but manna only sustains for a little bit. God is the provider. God provided the manna, which sustained for a little bit. God provides our daily bread. We're to ask for it. And God provides that. He's our provider. But beyond that, it is so much more. He wants to be the provider of everlasting life. That true gift. That thing that never perishes. That one thing that makes all of life worth living. It satisfies yours and my deepest need. Satisfaction. There's some guys that wrote some songs about that, I think. Can't get no. You guys know what I'm saying. Can't get no satisfaction. True. It's a true song. It's a true song. Apart from Jesus Christ, that is a factual song. You factor Jesus in, it's a whole other song. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. They're dead. This bread, which comes down from heaven, speaking of himself, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread. Okay, so let's get this, let's wrap our heads around this a little bit further. Let's think through this. Jesus, we start out in John's gospel that he is the living word. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. As we dine on the Word, the living Word, it is what sustains us. If you go over into Matthew's account in chapter 5, Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, so let's see real quick. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus is our righteousness. Is he that which I am hungering after? You see, all these other things around us are eye candy and distractions. Many idols, many gods, little things, stuff that we can get sidetracked on. Oh, it can be noble. It can be the greatest humanitarian endeavor. And it will satisfy for a little while. You can feel good about yourself and your efforts for a little while. But it doesn't fully satisfy deep within. Only God, the living Word, the bread of life that we can dine upon. But the deal is this. The habitual craziness about this is that the more I eat something good, the more I want to eat good things. It's a physical fact. Eat a bunch of hot fudge sundaes, you just kind of start craving hot fudge sundaes all the time. At least I do. Donuts are great. Another great, fine example. The pound cake with the Kobaya Bakery thing that's a fine example right there. I've confessed my sin. But the reality of that is that, man, it's good, but you start to crave. Boy, I'm getting hungry thinking about one of those. You start to crave it. I got a month and a half, maybe 2 months. But you start to crave that kind of thing. But it doesn't really satisfy. But I find if I eat more protein, I start to crave more protein because it's good fuel for my system. I start craving more protein because I'm eating more protein. I've craved that. It's better fuel. Sometimes we need fiber. Fiber's a good thing. We won't stop too long on that thought, but anyway. Isn't it funny how you just get sidetracked on little things like that sometimes? But the idea is so important, those things that we crave. What is it that you crave? When you and I get into the Word, when we get into the Word and we start to watch God move in our hearts, in our lives, through our lives, when we watch that living Word flowing and working in and through our lives, that which we really need, that really sustains us, that really gives us life, it is a living Word, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's that scalpel that cuts into the very heart and intent of who we are and what we're all about. And He gives us life. It really nourishes me. It really nourishes you. And as you endeavor to get into the Word, all of a sudden, you will crave more of the Word. I habitually just listen to tons of stuff just because I like to hear the Word. It builds up my walk. It builds up my faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word. We see miracle after miracle after miracle, and we do not see faith really being developed. How many times in the wilderness, as they wandered, did they see miraculous after miraculous, much less daily manna miraculous? We're not to just seek after that. Those things come after, or they are a byproduct of that living Word within you, the Word of God that changes us and shapes us and molds us. I am the living bread, Jesus said in verse 51, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Jesus says, I'm going to be that sacrifice. I'm going to be that. And the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Wow. Boy, I could have never scheduled a communion like we're going to have today after we go through this. Only God could plan that. I was thinking about that through this week. I was saying, man, God, you know right where we are. I could have never scheduled it. We need to hear this today. We need to understand what we're partaking of and the significance of it. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Now, he's not talking about just the very act of communion. We'll talk about that simply in just a few moments. He's not talking about just the act of it, but he's talking about what it is and it represents to us, who he is in and through the bread and the cup. For my flesh is food indeed. He is that which we crave. Jesus is that which you and I crave. He will satisfy. My flesh, he says, is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, or is in subjection to me, or in fellowship, or supplies and experiences continual sustenance. That being connected, as we learn in John chapter 15, the branch has to be connected to the vine. The branch can't, brothers and sisters, there's no superheroes except for Jesus, and we got to be connected to him. There's no other way. You can't be this lone element out here, because that branch dies, doesn't it? It has nothing to sustain it. But the nutrients come up through the roots, up into the vine, and as the branch, and then what happens? as that branch stays connected to the vine, as you and I stay connected to the living word, as we are connected to the bread of life, as we are gaining our sustenance from this, now all of a sudden, there's grapes hanging out there. Fruit. There's fruit. There's the living God moving in and through our lives. That fruit of his spirit, the presence. Now, those grapes aren't just on there hanging on. They're just straining like crazy to be fruit. It's a byproduct because the branch is connected to the vine. The vine supplies the nutrients, and now all of a sudden there's fruit. You and I, as we stay connected to God, and we're dining on his word, and we're taking in that bread of life, there is going to be natural byproduct of fruit. Let's keep going. We're going to finish this up, and then we'll partake of the bread and the cup. Exciting. He who eats my flesh, in verse 56, and drinks my blood, abides in me and I in him. There's mutual fellowship. We are part of one another now. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. There's a direct connection between Jesus and the Father, Jesus and us and the Father through Jesus. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. It didn't fully satisfy. It didn't quite meet the deepest need. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" Basically, it was like, wow, dude, that is way too much. I can't even process that kind of information. Eating people's body, drinking people's blood, what in the world? What is going on here? I mean, that's some of their response. What are we talking about here? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" Now, granted, stay with me. We're going to close out in just a minute. Stay with me. There's a lot of people following Jesus, disciples, a lot of people following. There's not just the 12. There's a lot of people following Jesus that were disciples. And so as they are these disciples, Jesus knows that some of them are having trouble with this, and he knew they were complaining about this, and he says to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" What happens when I go off into heaven? What happens when I ascend? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. What is it that really is your priority? What is my priority? What is the most important thing in your life and my life? You see, that priority really comes into play. What am I looking to sustain me? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The very word of God speaks life into this mortal flesh. It is spirit. And that is really, brothers and sisters, no matter what the lure is out there, you know, the lure, the fishing lure, no matter what it is that's out there, and we get all distracted and you start swimming after it, you know, trying to get this little thing out there, no matter what the lure is, it's a red herring across the path of life. It's just distraction. It's just bait to distract me. I think I crave that, you know, but that's not really. And the disciplined life of the believer is, no, that's not really what I need. I really need to just spend some time and hear from my Father, fellowship with my Savior, dine on the word of life, because it is spirit and it is life. It satisfies my deepest need. It meets me where I'm really at. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, Jesus says, are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Belief. Putting all your weight on. Trusting it completely. That's the thought. Putting all your weight on, trusting it completely. Leaning on it with all that you are, knowing that it will hold you up. That's the concept. Pretty radical thought. There are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." And yet God is seeking those. God is looking. God is seeking for those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. He's constantly seeking for those. And you are those, or you would not be here. Seeking to hear from the Lord. Oh, great stuff. From that time, in verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. This is just too much. I just don't quite get it. It's just too much. This eating flesh and drinking blood, and I just don't know. I just overwhelmed, just overwrought with all this thought, trying to comprehend in the natural a spiritual truth. I have to, by faith, trust God and embrace that and then walk in it and trust him with it, leaning fully on him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. God is the one that will bring that guidance and direction to our lives. Don't lean on your own. Oh, my goodness, the times I've leaned on my own understanding, it was like flush right down. It was just a big waste of time, leaning on my own understanding. Trust in the Lord, though, with all of your heart. Man, when I don't lean on my own understanding, man, God can do powerful, wonderful things in and through our lives. Many of his disciples, many of these people that were following him, went back and walked with him and no more. And then Jesus said to the 12, those immediately around him, do you also want to go away? Hey, you guys want to take off? Basically, that was all. He just turned around. Hey, you guys want to split? You guys want to take off? I love the fact that Jesus speaks truth lovingly. He says it right direct to him. You guys want to take off? It's kind of difficult. You guys want to split? You had enough? Not harshly, not meanly, but just straightforward. I think sometimes the Lord looks at, I'm thankful he does. He kind of looks back at me and says, Jim, what's the problem? You want to split? Well, my response, I would say, is very similar to Simon Peter, who answered him in verse 68. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Not one of you died for my sin. Not one of you bore the shame and the guilt of my sin. But Jesus Christ did. He has the word. He has the words of life. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? Go chase after things? Think about it when you wake up tomorrow morning. You want to take off? You want to start seeking after stuff? The things that don't really satisfy? See, you want to take off and just go after those things? Or do you want that which really satisfies? So the importance of our relationship to Jesus. Lord, to whom, where are we going to go? What am I going to do? Where are we going to go? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go to find satisfaction in life? And where am I going to go? He alone has the words of life. Where would I go? Also, in verse 69, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Distractions, they're pretty real, aren't they? They come in all kinds of forms. And it can just seep in so quickly and so easily into the moments that matter so much. Where are you going to go to find satisfaction? What are you going to do? Where do you get your needs met? Jesus wants to meet those needs. We've come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? One of you is the devil, yet Jesus selected." He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. And yet Jesus loved him and cared for him and called him friend. Jesus is the one who loves us always, always, always. And he is the one that can sustain us. Today, as we kind of prepare our hearts, as I'm going to ask the guys to start distributing the bread and the cup. And if you would, just hang on to it, please. Just take the bread and the cup, just hang on to it, and then we'll all partake of it at one time together. So they're going to start now and start to hand this out, and we'll worship for a moment, and then we'll have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll partake of this. And this is our corporate profession to God, saying, Jesus, you are the one that is the provider for my life. Now, I'm going to eat that cracker, and then I'm going to have a sandwich. Right? So the cracker isn't that which is going to sustain me physically. I'd be in serious trouble. I'd maybe be better off. But we can go ahead and start distributing. Please, if you would, just take the elements and just hang on to them, and then we'll partake of it together. But this idea of that little cracker, I'm going to be hungry here in a minute, and I'm going to have a sandwich. But the idea is that it represents the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the significance of that. Because as I look to it in that light, I see it that I am saying along with you, and together we are saying before the Lord, that we acknowledge you as the provider and the one who sustains and gives us life. We are acknowledging that. And we acknowledge that the only way that happened is because of your shed blood. And so it's an exciting time. It's a serious time. It's a sober time. You and I were bought with a price. It cost God dearly. But for the joy, Jesus said, that was set before him, he endured the cross. You see, it's his great joy today to call you family. Isn't that great to know? We're coming to the Lord's table together as family. And he wants to wash and cleanse our hearts, forgive us of sin and unrighteousness, and just embrace the goodness coming to his table. Doesn't matter how lame you are or how messed up you are. Mephibosheth had to be hauled to the table all the time, to David's table, King David. He was lame, couldn't walk. Never missed a meal, man. The king made sure that he could get there. You see, our king makes sure we can get there. He provided a way for you and me to sit at the table. Now, no matter how lame you are, he provided a way for you and I to sit at the table. I'm lame. I'm messed up. But God provided a way through his son, Jesus Christ, for me because of forgiveness, because of his grace, because of his broken body and his shed blood. That's what we're sharing in common. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening again today, and we're just so thankful for those of you who tune in and are getting something out of these messages from God's Word. And sometimes God really begins to tug on our hearts, and he kind of calls us out for a response. And sometimes we want to go and work at something and kind of earn our way into things. But, you know, with God, it's just not that way. His Word says, for by grace, that's unmerited love and favor that's been shown to you. That's what that word grace means. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God wants you to walk in those good works that he's prepared for your life. He wants you to be a living testament of his goodness and his grace. And he doesn't want you to have to work at or earn salvation, but salvation is a free gift. It's by faith that you can have this everlasting life. Simple prayer of faith. Jesus, I want to ask that you would come into my heart, that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want this free gift of everlasting life. I want to be forgiven. I'm tired of carrying this weight of sin and shame. And I want to ask, Lord, that you would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for that grace that you have shown me. I receive you now into my heart and ask, Lord, that as I walk this life, that you would walk with me
and then I would walk in your ways and in the good works, those things that you prepared for me to walk in, that it might glorify you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us again next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, God.